The subject of our talk this morning is going to be thorns. And Roz is going to read to us a scripture where thorns are spoken about. Thank you.
Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. But God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I was speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong."
Thank you. I want, for a short time this morning, to speak about the thorn in the flesh that Paul the Apostle, and how God in mercy mercifully allowed him to deal with it. But just before I speak, one announcement that I didn't make was that for a short time after the service, those who are interested in the Sunday Club, if we would just stay around and we can discuss that and see what measure of support there is, particularly while Verity is on maternity leave. It's nice to see Verity and the baby here this morning. Thorns are not pleasant things, are they? The dictionary says a thorn is a straight or curved woody projection on a stem or other part of a plant, and it goes on to say that thorns can cause injury. Now, 2 weeks ago, I was collecting gooseberries from my garden to make some gooseberry jam, and hopefully some are frozen now. My wife will make a gooseberry crumble at a later stage. We live in hope and trust that that will happen. But one of the thorns stuck in my finger, and it really gave me a lot of discomfort until it was removed. And thorns do that, don't they? Splinters, thorns, all of us at some point or another have experienced a splinter or thorn in our hand or in other parts of our body. It got me thinking about thorns. And that, as I pondered on thorns, I thought maybe that's what I should speak about. That's how I came to bring this message to you this morning. I checked with my Bible to see what it said about thorns, and there are 54 in my translation of the Bible references to thorns. And every time they speak about pain and suffering. And that was certainly my experience with the gooseberry thorn. Then I began to think, why is there thorns? And I remembered that before the fall, before sin entered into the world, there was no thorns. Thorns came because we disobeyed God. In that first garden that God planted, there were all kinds of beautiful trees and bushes, plants that produced delicious fruit, but not one of them had thorns. So many thorns on my gooseberry bush. I remembered was a result of disobedience on the part of our first parents. In Genesis 3, we read this, that God came to Adam and Eve and said, because you have disobeyed me, the ground that you live on has been cursed, and you will struggle to make a living. The earth will grow thorns and thistles, and all of your life you will perspire, you will sweat to produce food. And of course, all gardeners and farmers know that one of their greatest challenges is the weeds that grow, which include thistles and thorns. But those thorns that marred creation would one day be made into a crown and placed upon the head of Jesus. Now, thorns do not grow naturally into a crown. Different sized thorns on different bushes would grow all over Palestine. They were in the desert as being in the more populated areas where Jesus lived. And I wonder if they would, as Jesus saw those thorn bushes, would that be a constant reminder to him that one day folks blinded by hate for him would craft a crown and make it out of thorns to mock him because he claimed to be their king. That thorny crown was rammed on his head, and it was done to humiliate him and make him suffer. The hymn writer put it this way, thorns wreathed thy brow when hanging on the tree, man's cruelty. Why lovest love like this, O Lord, on me? Thou lovest me. Would that my soul could understand its length, its breadth, depth, height, and everlasting strength. You know, when Jesus hung on that cross with that crown of thorns, with the blood running down his cheeks and into his eyes, he looked down and he saw the people that had put it there, and he said, Father, forgive them, asking God to forgive them. The thorns that Jesus wore are a reminder to us that on the cross, Jesus bore away the curse that the fall in the garden had brought about. He took upon himself the curse of sin for our wrongdoings and rescued us from all the wrong things we have ever committed. And this really is the good news. This is what the gospel is all about, that Jesus took our place on the cross. As the Lamb of God, he laid down his life so that we would be reconciled to a holy God. But we never forget that the head that was once crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. And Jesus is in heaven, and Jesus this morning invites us to follow him. But looking at these verses, before we read of another thorn, this time not a thorn to humiliate, but a thorn allowed by God to make this man that we have read about, Paul, more dependent upon God's grace. Let's think about that for a moment. A thorn that Paul had was a thorn that did cause him to suffer. We have read about that. And three times the apostle, he asked God to remove it. And each time, his request was denied. We're introduced to Paul in Acts chapter 7, where he's a spectator to the death of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. And watching Stephen die at the hands of these cruel men would be a scene that he would never forget. But it didn't immediately change him, because he sincerely believed that to persecute Christians and to break up their gatherings, to put them in jail, was what God wanted for him in his life. And it does show us how wrong we can be. Today there are still people who believe that Christians should be locked up and put to death. And only this past week we've heard news of 300 followers of Jesus losing their life in the country of India because they refused to give up their faith. And Paul felt that was his mission in life, to go around and to round up Christians and to have them put into chains and locked up. But in Acts chapter 9, we learn that while Paul was on his way to Damascus to round up Christians and to put them in chains, he was confronted with the risen Lord Jesus. He was brought face to face with the truth of the good news. His conversion, yes, it was dramatic. He fell on his knees and he called Jesus Lord. He learned that day, by persecuting Christians, he was persecuting the Lord Jesus himself. On that day to Damascus, God convicted him of his wrongdoing, and this led to his conversion. And on that day, he turned from being a persecutor to becoming one of the greatest missionaries the world has ever seen. Now, not all conversions are so dramatic. God brings us to himself in different ways. Some have come to faith through the faithful teaching of a Sunday school teacher, or the witness of a friend. Some through receiving helpful literature. The truth is that we can quietly turn to the Lord Jesus anytime, even where we're sitting here today, and simply by faith surrender our life to him. That is the wonder of the gospel, that God is never far away, that Jesus came to seek and save people who were lost in sin. And as we look into our New Testament, we see many examples of people who came to faith in the Lord Jesus. Some were prison wardens. Some were people that had followed pagan, idolatrous ways. Some were just normal people like you and I. And all of them, we read about, believed in the Lord Jesus. On the very first sermon that was preached in Acts 2, 3,000 people that day came and trusted in Jesus. And so Paul, on the road to Damascus, gave his life to the Lord. Now Paul would learn that he would suffer. In so many wonderful ways, of course, he was blessed too. And he speaks about that in some of his letters, how that God would bless him and had blessed him. And he was so thankful for that. But here we've been reading about a thorn that Paul had. Of course, it wasn't a splinter of wood like I had in my finger. But it was a thorn nevertheless that brought suffering. We can't be specific as to what it was. We can speculate. I think most likely it would have been some kind of physical malady. Some people have said it was poor eyesight. Some people have said perhaps bouts of depression. Some people have said that it may have been malaria. But we don't know. But what we do know is that Paul was given this thorn for a reason. It was to be to him a constant reminder that he needed to remain humble in his service for God. And all who serve God in the small things, as well as the more public ways, have to do so with a humble spirit. Pride has no place in Christian service. The Bible speaks about pride that God resists. God had blessed Paul in so many ways, and on an occasion, in a very remarkable way, God had allowed him to go to heaven. He says, whether in the body or whether in the spirit, I don't know. But he had saw things that were wonderful, he speaks of. More than he could speak about to others. And these truly remarkable occasions could have made him very proud. And so God allowed for him to have this thorn so that he wouldn't ever be puffed up with self-importance. Paul himself said, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And although the thorn, as all thorns do, would bring discomfort, he would be fully compensated by God's grace, and he would find contentment and peace in God's grace. And perhaps the reason we're not told what that thorn was that Paul suffered from is because in some ways, you and I, all of us, we all bear different thorns one time or another. Some thorns are easier to cope with than others, but they all speak of pain and suffering. Thorns can be when a member of our family perhaps goes astray, or perhaps a divorce that takes place with those that we love, a regret about something that happened to us in a weak moment, and we have made a wrong decision, and we carry that burden with us, and it has become a thorn to us. Or perhaps someone near and dear to us who has an addiction. But more often, the thorns, like Paul's, are in the form of sickness, such as cancer, diabetes, heart attack, or stroke. We can have thorns, truly, that incapacitate us. Some have the thorn of blindness and deafness, and some have thorns that have come about through age or injury. But whatever the thorn might be, God has promised that his grace is sufficient to deal with them. In July 1967, Joni Erickson, when she was 17 years old, dived into a water that was too shallow, and she fractured her spine and became paralyzed from the shoulders down. And during Joni's 2 years in hospital, she experienced all kinds of emotions. However, during the occupational therapy, she learned to paint with a brush between her teeth, and she began to sell her artwork. She also began writing using voice recognition software. And to date, she has painted many paintings, written over 40 books, recorded several musical albums, and has become an advocate for people who have disabilities. In a recent interview, she was asked how she kept going with all her disabilities, and this is what she said. I sometimes wonder, why me, God? Why have you brought me on this difficult journey? Here is what she said. My testimony is that his grace that he has given me the strength to survive 55 years paralyzed and in a wheelchair. The truth is, I don't have the strength myself. I still have to wake up every morning needing God desperately. And like David, I often confess, I am poor and needy. And perhaps that's how God has brought me this far. I cannot say. But I do know that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. A verse from 2 Chronicles. And she goes on, God is searching high and low for weak people who love him so that he can pour his grace and strength into their lives. She said, maybe that's my story, but I just keep praising my sovereign God with every milestone I pass. I have been paralyzed for 55 years, not to mention 2 bouts of cancer, severe breathing issues, COVID, and chronic pain. But she says, I hold tightly to what Paul said when he said, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race well and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me. At other point in her testimony, she speaks about the thorn that she has been given turning into a rose. What an amazing testimony. Like Paul, she had learned that God is able to bring some good out of suffering. Paul asked 3 times that his thorn would be removed. And each time, God said no. And each time, God said to him that his grace would be sufficient. He would give him the strength to continue. And Paul, despite the thorn and other obstacles that came into his life, it was his testimony that God had never left him or forsaken him. His weakness, actually, made him much more dependent upon God. And when he was really weak and really troubled, God would come in a very real way into his life and make him strong. Like Paul, we too experience suffering, and it feels like a thorn. We can pray and we can ask God to remove it, but there will be times, as Paul found, that God simply says, no, I just want you to know me better. I want you to experience my presence. I want you to know that I am here available to you to help you during this experience in the valley. You see, the Lord, he wants our company. He wants our fellowship. And sometimes if he allows a thorn in our life to happen, then it's because he wants us to draw closer to him. The word is, my grace is sufficient. Yes, these scriptures remind us, do they not, that even in our struggles, God is working out what is good for our ultimate benefit. So what is grace? What is this grace that the Lord promised Paul? It was, of course, his unconditional love. And though Paul later says that he didn't deserve it, he recognized that God had freely given that to him. And it was that thought of God's unconditional love to him that had saved him and given him eternal life that spurred him on, even during the difficulties of life. And in a special way, we receive God's grace when we most need it. To the Christian, grace is given, as it was to Paul, when we are often faced with suffering. But even when things are going well, we never forget that God loves us. In his grace, he cares for us. He takes care of us. He helps us along the journey of life. God's favor, his loving kindness, his mercy is enough to keep us ultimately from danger, and it enables us to cope with the difficulties of life. But God, more than that, his love also gives us a joy as we live out our lives. In knowing those of us who have trusted in him and trusted in his son, that God cares for us every day of our lives. So what do we learn from Paul's life? This particularly is that sometimes problems don't go away, but God's grace is always greater than our problems. And we learn that God is never far away. And when we are weak, he gives us strength. And for the believer, we see the bigger picture. As Peter said, God's faithful followers have this promise of eternal life, where there will be no thorns, no thistles, or no suffering. When we are weak, when we experience that thorn, we go through a period of difficulty or suffering. Let us remember that God is not far away. He will give us the grace. He will give us that deep sense of his love to help us deal with those things. And that's one of the great promises to those who follow Jesus. May we all learn to follow him, to trust him, and to accept that God wants the very best for us. Amen.